You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We're really stimulated by the great crisis that we experienced this past week, at least a crisis that was created based upon world politics, and that is the tragedy that took place in the Cincinnati Zoo when it came to the little kid falling into the cages of the gorillas, and the major moral crisis: should we kill the gorilla to save the child, or maybe we should be concerned more with the gorilla life than the human life? I'm going to just start with a headline in what's supposed to be called the prestigious Washington Post. The headline in that paper was, "Shooting an endangered species is worse than murder." The Washington Post. And that's up at the Inquirer. The Washington Post. And the fact of the matter
is... Was it the editorial page or the front page?
Front page of the newspaper. And what makes it even more frightening is that when you look at exactly, the outrage and the anger, I mean, the actual zoo itself got immediately 185,000 protests to the terrible avala when it comes to killing that specific gorilla. And the fact of the matter is, when you read what went on after that, they called the killing of the actual gorilla a homicide. Okay. Number two, as an ironic twist, what was the reaction of people in the street? The parents of the little boy were threatened with numerous death threats. Just think of what's going on over here.
It's exactly like what's going on with the Palestinian and Israeli.
So they threatened with death threats.
It's not the same. No, they say the Jews is blaming the Jews,
It's not the same.
It's not the same. Now, what is also interesting, is that at least there's some normal people around. A famous world expert in animals, who's the direct emeritus of the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium, his name is Jack Hanna, said, "There's no question, 1,000%, you had to kill the animal over here. I don't care what people say, people go out of their cotton picking mind." And furthermore, but obviously, he points out the power of this specific creature. He can take a green coconut with one hand and crush it within seconds. So, whatever you saw the gorilla doing 1 minute, the next minute he can take the little boy's head and crush it like a gunish to gunish. And therefore, quite obviously speaking, the whole question that there was a choice, in the news programs, what would you have done? As if there are two possibilities over here, like you're voting for two different politicians, what would you suggest? What?
The director of the museum of zoo said that they couldn't even use a gun.
I'm going to get to that.
Because it would take too long to.
But the zookeeper said, it's not only a question would take long, but they say when you see this dart going into such creatures, they start panicking. You put this animal to a panic attack, he would kill the child before he even started. So the fact is, there wasn't even the possibility over here.
But he already FRM for that before they even said
it. Yeah. So the fact of the matter is, what's troubling Rabbi Isai is that the obvious answer is not so obvious to the world in which we live. It's not even politically correct with the way people reacted. So I want to set the record straight tonight.
The only question is where were the parents?
Yeah, that's a separate issue. 100%. But that doesn't. Right. But that's 100%. A question how he got in there.
Right.
But or how high the fence was, whether it was impenetrable. But the question we're dealing with now is, if you have an animal, a gorilla, about to kill a human being,
no question.
I don't care even if it's an endangered species, who takes priority? So that's what I'm going to deal with tonight. 100%. Listen carefully as we go through Makaris. So as I want to start up tonight, I want to start up with the following Hagdama. I'm going back to Briyas Olam, I'm going back to the Hashkafa Zatera, which normally should serve as the Hashkafa for not only the Torah world, but the non-Jewish world. After all, everything comes in the Bible. So in the book of Tehillim, it says, Olam Chesed Yibana. The reason I'm starting with that is because there's a famous quote of a person who basically, either he was a current convert, where he is a Baal Tshuva, who said to the rabbis when he converted or became a Baal Tshuva, I wish the Jews would have had a book like Psalms as part of their literature. It's a Christian work. So I'm saying that the fact that Rabbi says we have to kill them first, Zevek and Gamlin for uns, not vice versa. In the crazy world out there, people don't even know that. It says, Olam Chesed Yabaneh. And the Gemara says in Masech, the Sota, when it comes to this, Torah, Techilasa Chesed, Sefer Chesed, when you look at the narratives in the Chumash from beginning to end, the Torah starts with Chesed, ends with Chesed. Chesed is part of the Hashkafa that Klal Yisrael are supposed to basically represent when it comes to our dealings with other creatures in this world. There's the pasuk you say in Ashra each and every day from Tehillim, Rachum Avah Kamas, of Hashem's compassion is on all of His creatures. And Chazal pointed, based upon the mitzvah later on, Pashas Kisava, V'halachta B'derachav, which is the 611th mitzvah, the Tayyak Mitzvahs, as the Sefer Chinuch lists them, we learn the halacha, Mahurachum, Aterachum, but we have to emulate Hashem's midas that He used when it comes to creating the world and supervising the universe. If Hashem therefore epitomized the concept of Rachmanos, we likewise have to epitomize that specific attribute as well. What is interesting is later on the Chassam Sefer, the Heilige Chassam Sefer, in the Shelos and Shuvah says that if we have a principle of Tzar Balechayim in the Torah, the Gemara has a tremendous debate in Baba Metzia and other places in Shas, was the Tzar because animals unnecessarily, is it a violation of a Torah principle, is it a violation of a rabbinical principle? Roy Papes can unfortunately come to the conclusion that Tzar Balechayim is in fact a Torah prohibition. You can't cause Tzar to animals unnecessarily. The Chassam Sefer says, what is the biblical source? What's the makar of Tzar Balechayim in Atera? So he says in the Shelos and Shuvos, it's meyused on the pasuk Halachta B'Derachav I just mentioned, and that is the same way that Ribbono Shel Olam has Rachmanos on His creatures. We have to have Rachmanos on Hashem's creatures. That therefore brings into existence the Araisei Schaibos of Tzar Balechayim in Atera. In fact, there's a pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Yud-Bei, that says, Yodeya Tzadik Nefesh Behemta. That a tzaddik is concerned with the nefesh, the existence, the problems of his ahemah, which means tzaddikim have concerns even with non-human creatures when it comes to dealing with Hashem's creatures of this world. Now, following in suit, when Chazal therefore tries to highlight how important Tzar Balechayim in the Torah applies, so they bring the following biblical psukim and mitzvahs to show that the ultimate theme in all of these mitzvahs is the concept of Tzar Balechayim in the Torah. For instance, the Gemara dashes from that, you're supposed to give your animals food before you feed yourself at the table, which means you have pets in the house, feed them first before you feed yourself. This is brought down by the Poskim Shulchan Aruch as the halacha that we have in the Kaim on a Daraisa level. The concept of Kantzipor, that basically sending the mother bird away before you take the babies for yourself, is predicated on the tzad the mother might have by seeing you take the babies when she's still there. Tzad balechayim. The concept of shechting the mother and the baby the same day. The mother shouldn't see you shechting the baby. Therefore, that's based upon tzad balechayim in the Torah. The concept of sachar shor v'chama yachtov, not using a shor and a chamar to pull a plow simultaneously, because the shor will make the chamar overwork when it comes to competing. Tzad balechayim in the Torah. Like Saksham Shabadisha, when an ox is basically plowing or doing working in the field, you can't muzzle its mouth, it should have the ability to nosh, like a human being is able to nosh during the performance of its work. The mitzvah of Parika Te'ina, an animal is overloaded, it's about to plots on the floor, so the Chiddush of the Torah is not only an animal that's overloaded of a friend of yours, but even if it's your Sayyidah's animal that's overloaded, forget about the relationship to the owner. You mechuyav al Tzar Balechayim to remove the burdens, to give the animal ability to not be overburdened and traumatized by the unfortunate burden that you overloaded. The concept of the Torah Shvisas Behemton Shabbos V'yamtid also is predicated on the concept of Tzar Balechayim to give the animal some manucha when you're having manucha as well. The mitzvah of Shechita, this is interesting, it's based upon the Ramban and the Chassam Sefer, it's Perush on the Ramban. But Ramban says, what's the reason? The Gemara teaches us, when you do a Maisa Shechita, there are five Psulei Shechita that you have to avoid. What's the reason for this? So Chazal point out, for instance, Shia, stopping momentarily, Rasa doing a hacking to cut the Siman rather than doing a backwards and forwards. All of these have one common denominator, to make the cut as painless as possible. So the Ramban says all of this is predicated on the fact Sab alechayim in Atayra, and when the Chassam Sefer says if that's the case, when Chazal made a bracha, a mitzvah shechita, what's the meaning of that bracha? The mitzvah is not the fact that Hashem just commanded us to kill the animal, but l'rachem ala briyot. If you shech in the most painless way. Rabbi Monk wrote a book about this topic during World War II, when the Nazis, Yamach Shemam Zichram, and other great, great spiritual, sensitive people in Europe wanted to make Gezeres Ra'as against Shechita, that it's Tzav al-Chayim. So he challenged them and said, let's do an experiment in which we're going to put animals on special equipment that's able to gear and able to tell us how much trauma they experience in their slaughter. So they have animals slaughtered according to the Shechita, the animals slaughtered according to the non-Jewish methodology. And as he documents in his book, after this, objectively, there's no question the amount of trauma animals suffered in the non-Jewish way of killing was far more trauma than that when it comes to Shechita. So he was able, on some level, to eliminate some of the challenge to Shechita, that specific tkufa, when it comes to Tzav Balachayim Atayin against us. I mean, the achzarius of the German world is that where they themselves were so concerned with animals and animals and animals and animals. So there, and therefore they put Gezeres against Shechita by this. But when they did to human beings in those concentration camps, not only to Jews, but all human beings, this is the hypocrisy of the world, and the hypocrisy of Rabbi Yisrael still exists. Chai v'kayim ad hayom hazeh. So if that's the case, we see that Tzav Balechayim is a major hashkafas of Torah. Now we come to a turning point. Despite the fact that the Torah is full of mitzvahs, accentuating the concept of Tzav Balechayim, so the question is, do we have a right then to use animals for any type of our activities? Because by definition, once you work an animal, the animal's going to have some pain, it's going to schwitz, it's going to have some... So where is the source that Tzav Balechayim is permissible for our human usage? So the answer to that, and you have this in your Marma comments with Rabbi Yisrael, is on page number one. It's based upon a Gemara in Masechtis Sanhedrin, where the Gemara says, based upon the Pasuk, Uridu b'degas hayom u'ba'if ha'shamayim b'chokhay remes ala aretz. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin Nuntes, Uridu l'malacha. That the Torah, the Rabbanim Yisrael gave mankind from the very beginning, as Choshev Itzav Balechayim is, animals were created for the purpose of your usage. We just will Messiah Masechet this tradition yesterday. What does the Mishnah say? Lo nivra b'riyas elo l'sham shenu. The purpose of the creatures of this world were to be used as a tashmish, as a form of usage for human beings. The Rabban Hashem therefore gave us the permissibility to use all types of creatures for our malacha, and by definition, be matat Tzav Balechayim that's involved with that malacha under normal circumstances. So therefore, the makar, but therefore mitigating some of the Tzav Balechayim for the purposes of our malacha benefits is unquestionably justified based upon Zeres HaKasuv. The fact of the matter is, Rabbi Yisai, the concept of using animals bechlal for human usage, I'm not talking about eating, because initially animals couldn't be consumed, but the Rabban Yosef taught us from the very beginning of the Torah, says, Vayasu kasnas ar vayavishay. You can kill animals for the purposes of clothing. Hashem was the first furrier. He made, Gemara says in Seita, he made basically kasnas ar. That's number one. Number two, think about it. The most holy object we have in Judaism is Sefer Torah. It can't be produced unless you take the skin of the animal and you use the sinews, which any other material as halachically invalid. So the most holiest object we have in Judaism, whether you like it or not, you want to be vegetarian, but to make a safe entire, you can't do it unless you kill an animal. So therefore, quite obviously, killing an animal, even for non-food purposes, is part and parcel of Hashkafas Satera. What is interesting, however, is that there's a very famous tshuva of the Nodeb Yehuda. The Yehuda in Yerodeya and Simar Reishiyot was once asked the following Shayla, which will put things in a certain perspective. He seems that Yidla once inherited an incredible Yerusha from a Mishpacha, and that person owned a forest his own forest. So the person now is now an owner of a forest. This forest had all types of wild animals. It was a forest animal habitat. So he asked the Nodi Behuda, now if I'm going on Oshia and I have my own forest habitat, can I now, since I don't have to work too much anymore, because it seems this habitat, this forest, also had villages that pay taxes, that they're there, he can go into retirement. So what did he want to do in retirement? He wanted to do hunting for the sake of pleasure hunting. He wanted to go hunting. Now, today in America, that's a big thing. You go out to hunt animals for the sake of pleasure, not because you want to eat them, because you want to have the pleasure of killing them. So he asked the Nodi Behuda, can a Jew do this as a pleasure activity of enjoyment if I'm not hunting them for the purposes of their bodies? For instance, if I'm not a professional hunter who needs to kill animals for their hides to make fur coats of gedayim, this is not my commercial activity, but I'm doing only for pleasure hunting, can a Jew be involved with this? So what the Nodi Behuda says is quite interesting. He says, if you kill the animals on the spot, even without sheep, you just shoot them in the head, whatever it is, or kill them on the spot, so that will take away, as far as I'm concerned, the problem of tzar bale chayim, because you're killing them on the spot. If you basically use their bodies to make rugs or trophies or things to decorate your house with, even though it's not your commercial activity, so bal tashkis is taken care of. But the problem is, the hashkafa of being a hunter for the sake of pleasure hunting, where it's not your really commercial activity, he says, who are the representatives of those hashkafa in the Torah? Two major personalities. First Nimrod,
right,
and later on Esav. They were gibor tzayin lefnei Hashem, and as Rashi says, it's not just that they were in front of Hashem, they were moired against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, as if they were bialim on natural law. So he says, hashkafically, to be involved in killing animals just for the sake of pleasure hunting, because you get a thrill, an adrenaline flow, you want to kill animals. He says, that's not the hashkafas at Tyre number two. He says, even worse, who gave you a hector to go into wild jungle habitat to put yourself in sakana to do the pleasure hunting? You put yourself in a makam shal sakana. When you do the l'shem panasa, the exeris, a customer has a baba metziah, that people can have dangerous professions, where's panasa purposes, for the sake of panasa. So for panasa, there's a matam in Tyre. But to do it for pleasure hunting, there's no matim in that Torah. So he passing at the end, because of putting yourself in a makam shakran shalayla tzarech panasa mitzvah, and also the fact that hashkafically, just getting you through to kill animals, sake of killing animals, even though you took care technically of tzav ba'lechayim and bal tashkis, this is not what I would recommend as a gadol that I should say Jews should subscribe to. So you therefore see killing the animals, even if you take care of the tzav ba'lechayim, is not as a pashit. If there is in some type of commercial viable value that you get by doing such, and putting yourself even in that type of sakana is not a legitimate Jewish pursuit as far as he is concerned. Now what is interesting is that the question that is posed, once he writes this tshuva, so the question that is posed to him and many gedolim, let's understand tzar bale chayim. Does that mean the animals have emotions and feelings like human beings? When it comes, for instance, the mitzvah of Loishishtat Oysa Benobi Yom Echot, or Shalek, or Shalek, saying Vabadim Tikach Loch, you say Tzah Balachayim is the Hashkafa. Does that mean animals have the same feeling for their little babies as human beings have for their babies? This is a major philosophical question, theological question. To this day, you look in the Geisha world amongst the psychologists, psychiatrists, some say this, some say that. So I want to share with you the Mahalach of the Rambam and Mar Nevuchim and the Ramban in his Perish L'Chumash. Both of these Rishonim said, as far as they know, based upon Hashkafas HaTeva, the Makaris they have, that an animal has a certain type of Teva, a certain type of feelings and Regesh that Hashem put in them from the time of the Yetzirah. It's not based upon intellectualism, it's not based upon Machshava, but part of the distinctness of their nature as animals is to have a concern to bring children into this world, and could obviously to take care of them. All mother animals have there for desire. If you ever saw how animals are created, I mean, I have in the house videos taken in the wild places of Africa, showing what little women lions do when the babies are born, what they do to lick their bodies to get up. I mean, there is a tevashim created of a maternal love and desire for children. So says the Rambam in the Mar Nevuchim, that since mothers feel for babies when it comes to animals, a maternal connection and love for them. When they see these babies being hurt, it causes, based upon their darga, a tsar emotionally on tsar balei chayim. And therefore the Rambam says, tsar balei chayim, as far as he's concerned, is based upon animal-centric. We're concerned you shouldn't cause the pain and anguish to animals when the karma is causing harm to their children. The Ramban disagrees, and he says, in his humble opinion, it's not animal-centric, he says it's human-centric. Which means Hashem wanted us, by killing the animals in a humane way, by shita kedaymer, to inculcate in us, we should have rachmanis and compassion on the animal kingdom. And if we have compassion on the animal kingdom, kal v'chaymer, we'll have compassion on the human kingdom. How different was Nazi Germany, that they had compassion on the animal kingdom, but they never extended it to the human kingdom. But the Ramban, Rash, and Ramban says that, basically speaking, even the Ramban says, Amar Nebuchim, by showing sensitivities to dealing with animals' feelings and emotions, vis-a-vis their children, Hashem wanted to give us an ability to develop the sensitivity to animals and then to human beings as well. Chazal therefore point out that if you want to know the godless of Gedolim, there's a famous Medrash Rabbah, why was Moshe picked to be the monarch of Klal Yisrael? Why was David picked to be the monarch? So the Medrash Rabbah says in Sefer Shemos, they were both shepherds, and both demonstrated in their tekufa, when it came with dealing with animals, they were therefore sensitive to the feelings and need of animals. The Medrash quotes that once one of the sheep got lost by Moshe, it was sick, Moshe carried it on his shoulders to safety and such. So the Baruch Hashem says, if you are a Rei Hatzon, and that's the compassion you have, you're not ready to be the manik of Klai Yisrael, because those my Tzon Kedoshim require somebody the same. So we see that personality traits of Rachmanis on animals is a qualification for Gedolei Yisrael. There's a famous Gemara in Baba Metzia that has major halakha ramifications, and that's the Gemara tells us that once Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was walking along in the street, and all of a sudden, a little calf that was being schlepped to the Beis HaShrita ran away from the Sheikhet, and he ran under the kaftan, the long, long coat of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and he was crying as if he wanted Rabbi Yehuda Nasi to save. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi turned and said to the calf, Leich lekach neitzarta. What are you coming to be? You created to become a lamb chop or a hamburger, so you're coming to me to prevent yourself from doing such? That's your keem in this world. So the fact is, he said the MS, you were created for that. But the Gemara says, when the Bezlan Shomayla saw that he, on his darga, who he is, I mean, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was the Baal darga, the tzaddik of his generation, besides being the Gadol Hadar, people weren't the Midas Tevis, he was called Rabbeinu HaKadosh for a purpose. When he showed in his darga, Hashem Zabadatik, the tzaddikim b'chut asara, a lack of momentary rachmanus, they might learn on their human level, which is much lower, not that Rachmanis as well, because of a fear. And this is what the way the Tshuvas HaGa'inim on that daf interpreted by Metzia, because people might come with the wrong idea, Hashem punished him with tremendous pains, stomach pains and anguish, as a punishment because he didn't have concern with the tzar of animals, I'm giving you tzar. The Gemara says a number of years later on, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is a maid, Amsa the Rebbe, was cleaning up the kitchen. All of a sudden a bunch of weasels, the mommy and the babies, came in. They wanted to eat what food was left. So she wanted to take the broom and give him a zet to kick him out. Rabbi says, no.
You are listening.
Rachma b'kol masav. We have extra food, give them to eat. So the Bezlan Shomayla says, Atshuvas HaMishkal, he had Rachmanis on the animals. We're not going to take away the Yisurim that were given to him because he had momentary Achzarias. So that Gemara, you should know, it sounds a Shein Agadata, it's a frightening Agadata. But when that Agadata became known in Klal Yisrael, it had made a major impact on Halacha, the way people treated situations. For instance, the famous Tchumas HaDeshan, Yisrael Isselin, who lived in the 13, 1400s, he was once asked the following shayla. The shayla was, in those days, the pens they had were quills from geese. So the question is, are you supposed to tear out the quill to use it as a pen only from a dead goose? If you have a live one still running around, can I take out the quill? It's going to cause pain. But the fact of the matter is, since the purpose of the goose, besides giving us meat, is to serve as a pen manufacturer, can we take it out and the tzar itself is muta because of l'malacha, it can be used for tzarek when he adda. So Paskins of Yisrael Israel in the following. He says, Me'ika hadin, since animals were given for our tashmish, lo nivro habrios, elo shamshenu, as the Gemara says in the Sefer Kedushin, and he quotes that by Beis Amid Aleph. He says, nevertheless, That therefore is not for us to take it, whether it's alive or dead, and therefore halach masa, on a live level we could take it, but he says, I'll tell you a little secret. No matter how much I paskin leheter, the Jewish world or people who learn Torah are not going to mekabel it, because they're going to be afraid what happened to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi in that Gemara, not showing momentary concern for Tsar. They're going to be afflicted with divine pains and anguish. So there was a Meira on Klal Yisrael that came into existence because what happened to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, that there he says, the lahalacha, what's going to happen over here is even though I'm giving up Tsar, even when they're alive, the Metzia says they're not going to do it except undead geese, in order that they shouldn't chas v'shalom, what they think in their mind, come under what happened to you. So even though there's no metzias of Shavuos over here, nevertheless, what happened in that biblical, in that Talmudic story of Yehuda Nasi set the tone that people are machmeh chamsal abarachai, eat things that are mutter, they're machmeh upon themselves not to do. So we therefore see, Rabbi, you say, when it comes to, therefore, our concern for animals, there's no question. Rachmo kol ma'asav is a crucial fact. It's abarachai menat Torah. Finally, before I go to the next piece of this, when you go to Gogol, a contemporary Gogol, like the Tzitz Eliezer, or Zev Waldenberg, who was one of the great Gedolei HaDor when it came to Peskim in Eretz Israel, he was very well known for his shalos and tshuvas, especially when it comes to medical phenomena. So I have the tshuva in front of me. The question that was posed to him, can we use animals, animal experimentation, to test medicines on the animals before we come to use it to test them on human beings? So he was asked the shale, is there a problem of Tzah Balechayim? So he says, in your Maamar Kaimas, I just want to show you part of the quotes that he uses. He points out, number one, if you look at page number 3 of what I handed out to you, he first brings down quotation D on page 3, which is the Tumas Adeshim I alluded to before, and Isa Tzaba Lechayim Imhu Isa Litzarcha Ulatashmisha, the Lo Nivru Kol Abriyos. So theoretically speaking, the same way animals were given to us for the purposes of food, they were given for clothing, they were given for the purposes of krabanos, they were given for the purposes of manufacturing from their own body medicines and other type of stuff and clothing, to use them therefore for the purposes, in this case he says, of medical experimentation, is one of the tashmisha they were created for, and therefore he feels Allah lamasa, it is permissible. He then quotes the Ramohu Paskins in quotation E, Kodava Shatzorak Lafua Lashadram Lalesa Mashem Isa Tzab Alechayim. He then quotes quotation number F, the Shvus Yaakov, who lived in the 1700s. Halach Lamas, the Kol Yeshba Mashem Tzorak Olar Fuas Aguf, O Shem Hanas Maman, Jain Boshim Chashas Isa Baltashkes, O Tzab Alechayim, Afilu Mishnis Chasidim Enkan. To be machmen this Ipaskins, you don't have a little of chumra over here. And then he brings the Chasam Sefer, who says, Sabacham derais near me the Ksiv Racham of Kamasav, as I mentioned before, Mashainu Tzarach Adam, or the Fogam Amono, or Ksiv Redubit de Gassiyam, or Re Toyinam of Behemos, Verodim Bemakel. So the fact we have had to do malach with the animals going back to biblical and Talmudic texts means we have no limitations. And therefore, based upon all of that, when it comes to this specific Shela, going to the end, that Tzitz Eliezer therefore passes halach lamasa, since there's no mishus chasidus, kedaymer. He says, therefore, if you want to test medicines on animal first, you have the heter of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam giving them a shamsheni as the heter to do such. And here, you're being testing medicines that God forbid if you test a human being first, it might cause major damage to them. So surely we're allowed to damage the animals in medical experimentation before you try it on a human being. He says, however, two tanoim. Tanoim number one, if during the time of testing animals with these medicines, they might suffer momentary pain, give them some painkillers during the actual experiment to minimize the pain as much as possible. And number two, if after the experiment's over, the animal suffers permanent damage that cannot be cured medically, which means the veterinarians can't cure it, and the animal will be inside the rest of its life, put it to death, put it out of its misery, in order to limit its tzav alechayim. So this is a psak on the books. Anybody involved in an animal experimentation in Eretz Yisrael who are halachis, rely upon this halach lamasa. But I'm trying to show you, tzav alechayim is allowed under certain circumstances, not to be vindictive and masochistic, but when it comes to Tzarech Bani Adam, it's permissible, because animals are created for that purpose without a shayla. Now, with all of that in mind, You know, you can be there for a great animal lover and such. We're now coming to part two of this year, which is going to deal with the topic I really wanted to deal with tonight. And that is, Saba Lechaim, according to most poskim, not only applies to animal interaction, Saba Lechaim applies to interaction with human beings. To cause a human being unnecessary pain is a violation of Tzar Balei Chaim in the Torah as well. That's why, I'll give you an example. Women, there's a big debate I told you many, many years ago when we were discussing the sugyas and shas, whether ceresis applies to Noshim or only to Zacharim. The psukim in the Torah Pash Emor talks about the concept of being ceres, an animal, destroying its sexual organs, talks about masculine organs. There's a machlekes of Tanoim, the Tosefta and Brises throughout Shas, whether it applies even to Nekevus as well. So the fact is that the Taz happens to Paskin like those Rishonim, and those Paskin hold like those Tanoim, that the din of Sirius only applies to male animals, it doesn't apply to female animals. Therefore, logically, it applies to male human beings, it doesn't apply to female human beings. Therefore, if that's the case, women who want to do tubal ligations to prevent getting pregnant. So, is there a problem over here? If you claim ceresis doesn't apply to them, so cutting the fallopian tubes or whatever is not isa deraisa ceresis. Is it nevertheless us, unless there's a sickness or something that they need to do in order to prevent them getting sick or pregnancy might be an endangerment? Is there a shayla that you're violating if there's no problem of ceresis as an isa in its own right? So says the Taz. The Taz says, I still hold unnecessary tubal ligations is prohibited for a different reason. Tzar balei chayim min haTorah. If there's no medical reason for them to do a tubal ligation, it's just enough for the sake of having free sex without any ramification, but there's no medical indication for this, what right do they have to cause themselves tzar, b'tarvis the surgeon or the patient, to violate? So I want to point out to you that he uses Tzar balei chayim as a reason to ask the tubal ligation for those who claim there's no isus ceresis because of on a human being. So this is his psak halacha, and most poskim happen to paskim that way. Now, with that in mind, Rabbi Yisai, let's get to this topic. When it comes to the creation of human beings, the Torah itself was very, very explicit when it says that Hashem created Nas Adam Bitzalmeinu Kedmuseinu. Hashem says, I'm creating man in my divine image and such. The fact of the matter is, Rabbi Kiva says in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos Paragimel, Chaviv Adam Shenivar Bitzalem, Chibi Yisera Shenodas O Shenivar. So this means, not only did God create us in the image of God, but Hashem wanted to show the importance and the chavivus of this phenomenon. He recorded explicitly in the text of the Torah, of Chaviv Adam Shenivar Bitzalem, we should appreciate the daga that we have. Now, when you say that you're created Bitzalem Elohim, what that means, Rabbi Yisai, is that human beings are different from animals in the following way. Every animal, including human beings, has what's called a nefesh habehamis that the creator, there's an animating spirit that applies equally to human beings and to non-human beings. It animates the animal. It gives it its normal concepts of having a desire to eat, to reproduce. All of that's part of our ruach behamis. You don't have to be a human being to have those taivas and those desires. That's part of being a creature that's alive in this world, has to reproduce, propagate, and be able to survive. That's called the ruach behamis. What makes man different than an animal is God created us up and above the ruach behamis with a ruach elokim, which we call a tzelem elokim. Other terms that are used for it, nefesh and neshama, Chazal call it basically, therefore, Vayipach be'apav nishmas ruachayim. Hashem blew, the Kabbalim say, a piece of Hashem's elokus into mankind itself. I call it the classical, okay, I usually teach this as trying to give the students of mine in college an understanding. I call it the computer chip. That is basically the Tzelem Elokim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That specific chip that you have in computers that animates the computer, without that special new chip, a computer cannot function. So therefore, that specific chip that causes the machines of computers to function, that specific chip Hashem gave us, which we call the Tzelem Elokim and such, That makes us into human. We call that, therefore, the pentium divineship, and therefore that separates us from the animal kingdom. Rabbi Akiva says, Chagav realize, Jew and non-Jew, we're both created by Tzelem Elokim, that divine pentheonship from the time of Bria, that separates us from animals, that makes us a different type of species. Animals might look like they function like human beings, and people who are animal lovers, who don't have the sophisticated theology I'm mentioning now, an animal reproduces, human beings reproduce, an animal eats meat. So in their mind, these animal advocates, human beings and animals are basically the same. That's why the pasuk says in Keheles, when they see human being dying, animal dying, who knows, with it watching, that the animal soul goes down into the earth with it, but the human soul goes up into Shemayim, looking at both dying without having a theological perspective, you think animals and human beings are the same. But Chazal point out the big difference is, human beings have a Tzelem Elokim, animals don't have a Tzelem Elokim. Why am I mentioning this? Because when it comes, Rabbi Yisai, to the concept of murder and such, you go back to Pashas Noach. And we look in Pashas Noach, the Rabbanu Shem reiterated the East of Ritzicha in the beginning of the world after the Mice of the Mabel. So listen to what the Rabbanu Shem says. Hashem said, I'm going to hold people accountable for murderer. Miyad Chaya, not only human beings kill, if animals kill, I'm going to hold them accountable, they'll be punished. If they kill human beings, umiyat adam yish achiv, whether your brother kills you, your stranger kills you, edrosh, es nefesh adam, it then says, shoyfich dam adam adam yishof, if that's the source, even killing embryos in utero. Adam besech adam is biblically prohibited as a form of murder. Why? Ki betzelem elokim asa esa adam. The reason that killing human beings is prohibited, murder, is because you're killing a Tzelem Elokim. Once you say, therefore, killing human beings, no matter Jew and non-Jew, because he's talking about Bnei Noach, he's extinguishing a Tzelem Elokim, what is murder applied to? To Tzelem Elokims. Murder based upon biblical commandment does not apply to a non-Tzelem Elokim. So those who say killing a gorilla is considered Ritzicha homicide don't know a Pashuta Pasuk in Pashas Noach. Gorillas don't have a Tzelem Elokim. If they don't have a Tzelem Elokim, Rabbi Yisai, the Isa Ritzicha Shvichas Adam does not apply to them based upon Gzeres HaKasuv. The fact of the matter is, as I go a little further advice into this, what I want to mention is something also that people make a mistake. We try to take animals and we try to domesticate them, thinking that we can train wild animals for the jungle and make them domesticated. Circuses pride themselves that they're able to domesticate lions and tigers and wild beasts and make them manageable, and we can handle them, and they have trainers and such to make them domesticated. So the fact of the matter is, if you look in the reality of the history of the circus of the world at large, how many tiger trainers or lion trainers, mi betun and mi leida, got these little kittens under their dominion? How many times, 20, 30, 40 years later on, their friendly tiger and lion decided, Mr. Bissel Hungrig, they ate their trainers, which meant to say, momentarily they might have developed some type of relationship. But you can't take the jungle and the wildkeit of wild animals out of the animal. You can momentarily train them perhaps to be a little more respectful to human beings, but you can't change them from wild animals, from their teva, into animals that are domesticated. Even animals that are domesticated. How many times sometimes the domestic animal goes wild and it's frightened and will hurt its master or the person? I mean, this is the reality of the world. Why am I saying this? Because Rabbi Akiva, interesting, and that Mishnah going back to Pirkei Avos, says something quite interesting. When you look at the entire Mishnah, you now understand what Rabbi Akiva was saying. Rabbi Akiva says first, Chava Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. He then says, Chavivin Yisrael, Shenikru Banim L'Makai. And then he says, Chavim Yisrael, Shiniklon Klei Chemda, which is the Torah, Ki Lech L'Tor, and the Torah says, Tazovu, and he calls the Klei Chemda, Klei Shenivr Ba'olam. So the Mepharshim ask, what is the reason Rabbi Akiva took three principles together, that were created at Selma Elokim, that Kral Yisrael there for all saw Banim LaHashem, and he gave us a Klei Chemda? What is the motif of this Mishnah? So the Mepharshim says something that is very interesting to know, something you should always remember in your mind, Dama Shatashim. They point out that a human being is a composite of three things. Number one, he is a composite of the genetics of the parents. The 46 chromosomes the parents give determine a lot of the physical history this child's going to have, their level of intelligence, their certain physical qualities they have when it comes to their body, the color of their eyes, sometimes their other things for the good, sometimes for the bad, sometimes the diseases of the parents are passed based upon genetics. So genetics is the first factor that defines a human being, l'tov l'ra. Rabbi Kiva says not only is there physical genetics that your parents give you, Gimel Shutim Ba'odom, the spiritual genetics, Hashem. Because Hashem is the third part of the Gemara says. So Hashem gives you a Tzelem Elokim, that platinum chip, is there for his genetic on a spiritual level to make what a human being is. That's part number one. Animals also have genetics, but the next two parts don't apply to animals. What is the meaning that Klal Yisrael are Abadim Lamakom? The second thing that shapes human personality are the role models and the relationships they have in this world. Your parents, your siblings, your friends. That impacts whether you're a good person or a bad person. If you keep bad company, Chazal say, Adam Nifal Kapil Asa. If you grow up in a gangster family, most probably you'll be a gangster. If you grow up in a tzaddikah, most of the time you'll be a tzaddik because the influence of your parents and such impact upon you. But Hashem said to Klal Yisrael, not only do you have biological parents, I'm your role model. You're my kinderlach. Therefore, use me as the role model. Emulate me to portray your personality traits. Finally, what is a human being? He's also a product of the educational ideas and concepts he's inculcated with his education. Which means what you study and you analyze and you talk about, that shapes your personality. Therefore, if that's the case, Hashem's saying to us, I gave you a unique type of educational system. I gave you the Torah, which has all the greatest Chachma Briya Sa'ilam. It's the Kli of Chachma that's pure, that's divine, that's spiritual, and is objectively God's Hashkafa. If that's the case, you know how to guide your life. Unfortunately, the big world at large, the biggest crisis we have, rabbis, in the world today, and this is a big crisis, I see it myself, in college campuses. The college campuses in America and around the world have been taken over by left-wing liberals who teach kids subjective ideology and philosophy and morals and ethics that are totally the opposite of Hashkafas HaTorah, because unfortunately they've taken over the world. How many people go to colleges who are mid-road or conservatives and try to speak to the student body, as the past mayor of New York did a couple of weeks ago, and he talks about them having open minds and respecting other people's opinions? What was their response of this great college he spoke to, one of these major colleges? They booed him. They booed him. The concepts, Rabbi Yisai, of the Obama administration with this transgender garbage, who's buying that, who's pushing the agenda? The left-wing professors in these types of universities. We have to have co-ed dorms and co-ed bathrooms. Everything has to be co-ed. The concept of hafrada between sexes is too conservative and too old-fashioned. We have to have a free world. These concepts are being taught to thousands and millions of colleges, students, and it's becoming a dangerous place for Jews who are on campuses today. Many, many years ago, you can go to an Ivy League college, get a tremendous education, but you would not be attacked physically or spiritually otherwise because you're a Jew. You believe differently. I want to tell you now, I know from college students who went on these campuses, your life could be at stake. Because once they find out you're a Jew and you don't talk or act like them, your life is mamish in a state of sakonis nefashos, spiritually and physically. Chazal therefore point out, a human being is a composite therefore of their genetics, of who their role models are, and what education they have. That molds you. You can therefore be a person that has proper morals and ethics based upon having all three in a positive way. You can end up being a negative person with having negative instincts. Why am I saying this? Human beings are trainable to develop a personality, a behavioral pattern, and act positively. The Sefer Chinuch says, he coins the term, Adam Nifal Kapilosov. People on their actions shape their character. Human beings have that capacity to adapt from going from a wicked society to a righteous society and change the ways to come about tshuva. People can go from a righteous society and join a corrupt society, become corrupted. Human beings can change their personality and everything. Animals don't have that capability. Peer relationships and education have zero impact permanently on the animal. Therefore, an animal of the wild is an animal There's no Tzelem Elokim. There's no trainability to change the wild animalistic tendencies. Therefore, when you're confronted in a zoo with a human being being picked up by a wild gorilla, as trained as it might be, as, you know, human-like you want to make the specific ape, the fact is the law of the jungle rules. And when you have this type of creature having the capacity of taking a little kid, schlepping through the water, then banging its head against the walls, what's interesting is those animal rights, chevra, and the liberal media, which is also a problem, the media is also liberal, they purposely did not show, when they showed it on television, what the animal did to the baby. They only showed the ape picking it up and basically they didn't show it hitting his head against the wall. That they didn't show. That was filtered out. And the reason was because they don't want you to get a negative opinion. You know, that they try to mold your mind to think away, the same way the college professors do. Chazal therefore point out very simply over here that when it comes to these types of concepts, Rabbi Yisai, we have to be very careful not to be fooled by the subjectivity of the world at large. The morals and ethics we accept, but Hashem determined them. He created us. He gave mankind, Jew and non-Jew alike, these morals and ethics. If we want to pervert them and change them, it's going to be to our detriment. But there's no question anybody who had ethics and morals, when they saw the dilemma out there, you kill the gorilla rather than basically kill the child, let the child be killed, because one is a Tzelem Elokim, destroying that child is murder, is Ritzicha. Killing the gorilla, whether they like to hear it or not, is not homicide, it's not Ritzicha. Ritzicha is only defining, as the Torah says, killing a Tzelem Elokim, a non-Tzelem Elokim, you might be destroying the species, Hashchasa, Tzar, and Pain. But killing, using the word homicide, is basically the erroneous term. I therefore want to just end off and say the following, that if that's the case, Rabbi Yisai, we have to teach our children, teach the people that we have impact upon, that as important as Tzar Baal HaChaim is in Hashkaf Kodesh, I gave you so many examples of how much Tzar Baal HaChaim is, it's not the same thing when it comes to human beings, because by human beings, besides Tzar Baal HaChaim, there's a mitzvah Pekuach Nefesh that applies halachically to saving human lives on Shabbos. There's no mitzvah Pekuach Nefesh that's a sequel to save animal life on Shabbos. On Shabbos, I will tell you, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, what allows you to do certain kulos on Shabbos for animals is not the Pekuach Nefesh, but it's Tzar Baal HaChaim. And by and large, the Tzar Baal HaChaim is Matir Derabbanans. For instance, the concept of Bimavata Kli Mechano, to allow an animal to climb out of a pit of water to be able to survive. So you allow the Mavata Kli, did a Bitla Kli when it comes to Muksa for the sake of animals. Amir Al-Akam, to have a guide. For instance, milk a cow, there has to be milk. The milakim is permissible. The concept of rabbis of tiltomuksa, all of the rabbanis for Tzar Baal HaChaim since the derais are mutter, but the kuch nefesh, the mechal shabbat derais is due for an animal. Rabbi Yisai, there is no makar and halacha in any source. Why? Because the human being at Tzelem Elokim, there's a Torah of Chayim Loishia Muspehem. You don't have a sequel pasuk when it comes to animals, even by Gai Mishina. Rabbi Yisai, as an aside, there's no official gzeres akasav that is matta pikuach nefesh for a guy on Shabbos. The only reason we're matta for a doctor to perform medical treatments on guyim on Shabbos is based upon the Chassam Sofer, who says not only is it Eva, it means mam is a question of pikuach nefesh. If our doctors, for instance, in Maimonides Hospital or Mount Sinai, would be cited that on Shabbos they didn't treat their cardiac patients that were guyim, so the Goyish cardiac patients died because the Jewish doctor didn't want Mechal Shabbos, you would have a blood libel around the world to any Jewish patient in the Goyish hospital. So therefore it ends up that every time you're treating a guy as a medical practitioner that's under your jurisdiction, Pekach Nefesh of Klal Yisrael is at stake. So the matter Pekach Nefesh of the Jew is matter the guy. That's what the Chazam Seif is. And that's where Moshe Paskins, why Jews can Mechal Shabbos for their Goyish clientele based upon that specific psak. But you don't find a sequel to that when it comes to dealing with animals of the animal kingdom. So Rabbi Yisrael, let's point out what is right, realize there is a difference. Of course, it would have been better if the zoo would have had better protection and therefore had a higher fence, a more impenetrable fence, and perhaps the parents should have been more responsible. We don't know the facts, but to say that there was a shayla for 1 minute that could not kill the gorilla and just put a dart to stun it, everybody who knows wild animals say that stunning of the dart would have caused the ape to go crazy. and within 1 second he could have destroyed that child. Thank God they made the right decision. Let's set the record straight, Abayi Sai. Adam and Behemoth are not the same. Realize that, remember that, and tell people that. The whole Shayla is a moot Shayla, but unfortunately the world at large has not learned that. We have to educate the world as Klal Yisrael, and that specific yourself.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.